just sent him. So he and I are going to and then I'll just give you
Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting. I'll now come to order. This day, Tuesday, March the 3rd, 2015. It'd be a good time now if anybody has any cell phones or any other PDAs, you can put them on silent. Not to disrupt the meeting. And then if you'll all stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along right now to item number 3. This is discussion and possible action, the approval of the agenda for March the 3rd, 2015. Is there any discussion on today's agenda? Hearing none, do we have any staff, do we have any changes today?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, staff is recommending that we continue items number 20 and 21 that pertains to the zoning of 600 acres approximately out at the north end of the county, as well as the zoning ordinance that would create the industrial commercial zone. We ask to continue that specifically to April 7th here at the courthouse at our normal time.
Great. Any discussion on this? Call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to continue items 20 and 21 to April 7th.
Second.
Moved and second. To approve the continuation of items 20 and 21, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 4, discussion and possible action, the approval of the minutes for January the 20th of 2015. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the minutes? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval of the minutes for January the 20th.
Mr. Chairman, on the consent agenda, there's one item to pull out. Sorry.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I shall need a motion for approval of the minutes.
I approve a motion to approve the minutes for January 20, 2015.
I'll second that.
Move to second for approval of the minutes for January 20th, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Now move on to item number 5. Discussion of possible action, the approval of the minutes for February the 3rd. Of 2015. Anybody have any comments or questions regarding that? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I'll motion to approve the minutes for February 3rd, 2015.
I'll second.
Okay, so move to second to the approval of the minutes for February the 3rd, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you. Now moving along to the consent agenda. You had a question on that, Mr. Osler?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I believe Pat, who's on teleconference with us today, so he is present with us. He would like to discuss shortly item number 7 and pull that. And then Shannon Gardner from Community Development also to pull number 8. He has a few things saying regarding that item.
Okay. So why don't we go ahead and approve the consent agenda with the exceptions of 7 and 8. Does anybody have any other questions regarding the consent agenda from the audience? Hearing none, call for a motion to poll 7 and 8.
I motion to poll item 7 and 8.
I'll second that.
Okay. And so it's been moved and second to go ahead and poll 7 and 8. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And then we'll go back and then we'll go ahead and let's approve the balance of the consent agenda at this time. If I could get a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the balance of the consent agenda at this time.
I'll second
that. Moving a second to approve consent agenda. Section 7, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, let's move on. Go ahead and we'll hear number 7 now. Pat, are you online?
Yes, I am. Last night, I don't think you want to be getting more around with me right now. Item 7 is actually very simple. That's why Chief Ames had opted to put it on the consent agenda. But I felt it worthy of at least a little highlighting the benefits of this. We've had individual interlocal agreements, if you will, between our various fire protection districts where if we buy a Story County ambulance subscription, that will be honored in Lyon County, in all the Lyon, well, Central Lyon County, anyway, and the two Lake Tahoe districts, as well as the Carson City district. This basically packages that all up into one agreement between all those entities. It really doesn't change a single thing, but I do want everyone to know that's just yet another added value of that ambulance subscription that, you know, if you subscribe for the minimal price that it is each year, when you're down in Carson or something and something should happen, you're as covered there as you are anywhere in Story County. And that's all. Staff recommends approval.
That's great. Perhaps when this gets, when they do their advertising in the local newspapers, so they can be sure that they could make comment on that too. It would work out well if any of our residents are in neighboring counties where they have an incident.
I'll pass that on to Chief Ames and perhaps reciprocally because, you know, many of their folks at least visit us, you know, during the tourist season as well. Great idea, sir.
Great. Does anybody have any questions regarding item 7? Okay. Very good. Call for approval of item
7. I'll move to approve item 7 on the consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Move to second for approval of item 7. With the Story County Fire Protection District agreement with Carson City Fire Department, Central Lyon County Fire Protection District, East Fork Fire Protection District, and Tahoe Douglas Fire Protection District, reciprocal ambulance subscription coverage. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 8. This is a possible action and approval of the safety manuals prepared by the Story County Safety Committee. Shannon, is Shannon in the room? Oh, there he is. Hi.
Yeah.
You want to take this?
I didn't really know I was on the agenda for that, but sure.
We like to surprise you once in a while. You bet we do.
Okay.
Short timer or not, but yeah, you bet.
Is there a microphone over here?
There is.
I probably don't need one. Well, have you received a copy of the safety manual?
I have seen a copy of the safety manual. Yes.
Okay. Well, so I've been involved with the safety committee for about 5 years here at Story County, and embarrassingly, that was one of the first things that we decided to address was rewriting the safety manual. And the reason I say embarrassingly is because I'm finally now, 5 years later, bringing it to you and saying that we have a complete document. And that's not the timeline that I would have liked to have gotten that done under, but nonetheless, with a lot of help from other members in all different departments, we finally got a document together that we feel encompasses the safety policy and procedures that should be adhered to in Story County. And as most of you, I guess, are aware, I did submit my resignation to Story County a couple of weeks ago. Today it will be my last day working here, and I was not going to leave you guys with an incomplete document. And so we got it buttoned up, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to speak to it, and I would be my recommendation that Story County adopt that manual as their policy and procedure for safety moving forward into the future. And I'd like to say thanks to everybody who has participated on the safety committee, and thanks to all the departments that are in Story County for being safe. I think that we have a very good track record in safety, and I encourage everybody to revisit that manual in upcoming years and adjust it as necessary and continue a tradition of safety in Story County.
Great. Pat, do you want to weigh in on this?
Yes, I will, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for the delay, though. I've got to kick you off a mute, and sometimes that takes a second. Shannon has led this safety committee supremely exemplary for the last many years. And this is a document from the item purely appearing before you. This is a document that we all should be very proud to have. While he wears and accepts some of the weight of not having it sooner, I look at this kind of like our ordinances that Council Morris is working on and everything else. You know, we're just kind of coming out of the dark ages and make sure we have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. I'm very proud of this document. Shannon has worked interactively with all of us, and it's definitely something that, you know, warrants approval and adoption. Segwaying for just a minute, too, I'll keep this off mood here for a second, and I hope that as this item concludes and we get a successful vote on this, that we all give Shannon a huge round of applause for his years of dedicated service to Story County. He's got his name on projects like Tesla, like Switch Now, like every project that's out there. Shannon is out there day and night. And he's also out there in many of our backyards and homes helping us with home remodels and improvements as well. So my congratulations to him and my best wishes, Shannon. Your loss will be truly felt by us here.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate that. I will take a lot of good memories away with me from Story County here.
Commissioners, have any questions on safety? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
This time I call for a motion for approval of item number 8. The safety manual is prepared by the Story County Safety Committee.
I'll move to approve the possible action or the action of the Safety Committee as prepared by the Story County Safety Committee.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Move to second for approval of item number 8. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Yes, Shannon.
Mr. Commissioners, and before Shannon leaves, I'm going to take a 30-second recess. Didn't realize this was part of the agenda. I just got a notice. There is a gift that Story County and our team does have for Shannon for his years of service with Story County. I'm going to step in the room right next and get that, and I would ask if the chairman and the board would like to present that gift to Mr. Gardner. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Shannon, for your tireless dedication to our team. We will miss you greatly. And it's got the county seal on the front.
Wow.
It's full of lamp oil. Anyway, on behalf of Story County, we appreciate all of your years of public service.
Thank you.
You will be missed. Definitely will. You've done a great job.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very grateful, and I will display this proudly. It's a hurricane lamp, how appropriate. Thanks a bit.
Can I just say something real quick?
You bet.
Yeah. I just want to say that, first of all, thank you. That I'm real grateful for the experience that I've gained here at Story County. That I'm proud to have been a part of the Comstock and some really good projects. And this was a hard decision for me. And I'm going to take some real valuable memories with me for the rest of my life. So, thank you.
Okay, let's see here. We're going to move on now to item number nine. Item number nine. Possible action, the approval of the business license first reading.
Mr. Chairman, was that part of consent?
Is it not?
Excuse me. I think you're okay there.
It's already been approved. that concludes the consent agenda. Now we're going to move on to item number 10. This is discussion, no action. This will be presentation and discussion by the Nevada Department of Transportation officials and Comstock Mining LLC regarding physical conditions, structural integrity, and other conditions of State Route 342 adjacent to the Lucerne Pit, Southern Louisville, Story County.
Mr. Chairman, just to introduce this item, if you wish. First of all, I want to commend both teams, but especially NDOT's team for coming to these meetings, working with us extremely closely. Thor Dyson, Bill Hoffman, and his team have been absolutely instrumental in working with us and coming up with a common-sense resolution, getting the permitting and the necessary mechanisms done as quickly as possible to get the road open. I think I can speak for NDOT and their team and Mr. Hoffman that it is NDOT's their priority and Story County's utmost priority to get this road reopened and, in fact, even in a better condition that was existing before all this has happened. I did send a press release out over the weekend for anybody that would like to receive a copy of that. I welcome you to come to me after the meeting or during the meeting or email me, and it basically outlines what communications have had taken place between our team here at Story County, NDOT's team, Army Corps of Engineers, SHPO, Comstock Mining, all the agencies that are or will become applicable in this whole thing. I know Comstock has a presentation that they're going to give as well as NDOT on some timelines and things that may occur, and then there will be some other discussion that will occur at this meeting. But I just want to say thank you all for working with us and helping us move this along. I'll go ahead and pass it over, if you like, Chairman, to the presenters.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Story County staff. I'm Bill Hoffman. I'm the Deputy Director at NDOT. I've been in this business for nearly a quarter century. We've had situations like this come up before where there's an urgency to open the road very quickly. And quite honestly, I don't think I've ever experienced the unprecedented camaraderie and collaboration between Comstock Mining, NDOT, and Story County. Never seen that before. So I'm extremely excited about and supportive, as well as NDOT, in terms of a solution that will help the history of this segment of roadway, which has seen, you know, there's been settlement issues for many, many years. And I think that the plan that Comstock Mining is going to share with you today is a very solid plan. I'm sure you've all heard that. When you do something, do it right. Do it 120%. I firmly believe that this plan definitely solves those issues and is in that light. And I would be remiss without saying that Story County, Austin, you've played an integral role in this. Presented a very hard line of questioning when we met last week on the plan when it was originally unfolded at NDOT headquarters. And kudos to you and your Story County staff. Couldn't have done it without you, and we really appreciate all the insight, the tough questions that we had to work through. And I think we have a very strong plan in place. And with that, I'll turn it over to the Comstock Mining folks. But just thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you today. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
Corrado DeGasperis, President of Comstock Mining. I do have Ken Joy, our Director of Mining, Rachel Yelderman, our Director of Environmental Affairs, and I compliment what Bill just said, not only, and what Austin just said, that not only is NDOT here represented, but in force, you know, with geotech and management, which I think really expresses to everyone how serious this issue is and how important it is to get it done both expediently and thoroughly. And so I would say that I'd also echo the comment about partnership. I think Story County has taken a tremendous lead, tremendous leadership role, you know, in saying this is urgent, this is important, this is fundamental. It's a C Street issue. It's not a minor issue. It's a big issue. And with that table being set, we were allowed to really do the homework. It took a little bit of time, but I would portray this presentation as being the result of all that work, county's leadership, presentations and deliberations with NDOT, and ultimately a really feasible solution that I believe gets us not only open fast, but open permanently, which and permanently faster than we previously thought was possible. So I'd just like to go over that. I think the purpose of this is to have everyone available for technical questions so that there's a real confidence in the solution. Having said that, we are incredibly confident about the solution, mostly because of everyone's involvement that Austin talked about earlier. Not only did Austin diligence the plan to ensure that it was sufficient, but he went further than that. I mean, he really repeated a lot of the steps that we took, in some cases independently, some cases with us, just to make sure that this is right. So please, at any time, if there's questions, either to this floor or to whoever technically expert could answer them. So just very, very quickly, and very quickly, because some of this has been seen by some but not all. The community has knowledge of this road. Fundamentally, the road is built on loose fill, and I think terribly the road is built over a shaft. So we see those as the substantial causes of this instability, and that has resulted in at least 5 major events, some representing extreme failure. We got a picture from Frank Pedlar on the failure that occurred in 1965. We have some diagrams from NDOT files and other sources of the more serious collapses. And this is what really triggered the closure of the road. The one thing I didn't say in the opening remark was that what's impressed me throughout this, despite the motivation by every party to have the road open and despite the urgency of what the implications are to everyone for it not being open, safety has always been the first cause. We've always taken the safest path versus the most expedient path. And I think now we have a very safe, very fast one. The proposed solution lies in this area. This map's not wonderful colors, but I can show you precisely the key points. So what you're showing here is sort of a map that represents town lots and, I'm sorry, private, public, and town lots. The white is private land, substantially all owned by us. The green are private town lots owned by us. And then the orangish is BLM. So in this scenario, we're avoiding BLM lands completely. Also, the creek, Gold Canyon Creek Way, there's not a creek there, but the creek way is reflected there. And the proposed final alignment is reflected there in brown. The initial bypass, which we'll show in more detail, is right there and completely avoids the creek. The solution has 2 major phases. There's really 3, but the third one is post the final reopening of the realignment, so we won't spend a lot of time on it. The first phase, as I just mentioned, will not impact jurisdictional waters at all. Why is this possible? Because over the last 2 years, we have done a study with the U.S. Army Corps to define precisely and have them acknowledge jurisdictional waters. Had we not known and been signed off already on where the jurisdictional waters were, we'd be 18 months before they could even tell us. Sometimes better lucky than good. We have that in our pocket. It's done. So this bypass solution, which I'll show you in better detail in a minute, has 0 implication on the jurisdiction. So we avoid the creek completely. The final realignment, we're going to span over the creek. By being above the high water mark on both sides, we're never going to touch it. Avoids the jurisdiction completely. This is a picture of a second portion of what this enables. And why did we do all that jurisdictional analysis? And why have we done all of the
sampling of the soil, spending millions of dollars over the last few years, because we are interested in removing any contaminated soils from the risk zone. This will allow for the full removal of the waste dumps. That's the, one of the critical fundamental reasons the road is sitting on unstable material. So all that material will be taken out in two phases, which I'll show you in just a minute, but it will, with NDEP, account for all the mercury. It'll be better than best practices for earthwork. If we were hiring construction people here, they would have to comply with construction laws. We are complying with Superfund laws. We are complying with NDEP mining laws. We are complying with MSHA laws. So our standards exceed anything the county would have to comply if they just hired a construction firm. Now, they still have to deal with some of these things, but we're holding ourselves to only those high standards for the entire duration of the project. So what does Phase 1 really encompass? It's really environmental cleanup. We have to remove that loose material first. We have to relocate some utility activity, which we've already commenced discussions with both AT&T and NDOT with. There's an installation of a hard permanent bypass. The permanent bypass is going to be on hard bedrock and compacted fill, not on loose materials. So that bypass is not a shoe fly, as we had debated as one of the possible options. It's not a temporary, it's a hard solid bypass of which the final realignment will plug into it. That eliminates cost and eliminates redundancy, but it also makes the initial bypass, which we're going to have open before the summer season, stable and safe, full stop. That's where we really started to feel good, when we saw a solution that wasn't a half measure. It was a phased measure. When I say we, I mean the county, NDOT, and all the regulators that we've been talking to. Then the bypass will open, and that bypass will allow for and include something that's never been done before. You know, a real permanent patch of that shaft, because that shaft is really the biggest concern, you know, as far as we've always been concerned. So that does require keeping the state route closed for a duration, which we believe in the circumstances is really acceptable to the equation. So there's the phase one area. Okay, it's colored in blue. The existing road, I apologize, but I'm delineating it for you right now, is here. It goes right over the shaft. The shaft is the red dot. The yellow dotted line is the final permanent realignment. The excavation will take out all of that loose material, as depicted here, with some three dimension. Apologize for touching on the eye. And it will cap that shaft like that. Then we will put compacted fill back so that the engineered solution, which will have to be, and we are building to and wanting to, as accepted NDOT standards. So we're not building it to a lower standard. We're building it to NDOT standards so that ultimately it can reopen as a state route, will be put in place. And then the bypass, which is really this greenish and this yellowish piece, completely avoids the area of instability. So the area of instability is avoided totally, and it is built compacted and solid. Now, ultimately, this portion of the bypass will go away, and it will be connected to the permanent final realignment. The blue is the ramp that is going to be required to be doing the second phase of the work while the bypass is open. So there will be a crossing to enable that construction, to enable the final realignment, and to enable all of the environmental cleanup. So phase two is that construction, but we have public access concurrent. That was the breakthrough that we finally came to early last week, and then spent the rest of the week diligencing the heck out of its feasibility. It removes most all of the remaining waste dump material. The goal is to get all of it, and to the extent it's humanly possible, construct the new realignment, and then there will be a brief closure, which will be much later and certainly in the winter. You know, we're targeting December, and it'll be brief. You know, we don't know exactly, but it's maybe a month. which will just tie in that final realignment, you know, into the road. And then the complete realignment and final solution will then be in place. So that's the area of southern excavation that will be required. For those of you who've seen it, there's a lot of loose fill there and underneath the existing state route. We'll, again, fully construct with fill material, roadway embankment, and then we're done to the extent that the public will be disrupted from any kind of use from the road ever again. We will then have to then finish off taking out the existing roadway, completing all of the rest of the remediation of that environmental cleanup, and ultimately completing the full reclamation that we've committed to for the mining activity. So it feels for us as a very strong solution that really achieves everybody's needs. The former route, this is the worst of the pictures, this is the material that will then sit to the west of that new road, and then it will be recontoured and reclaimed, you know, to a final conclusion. So the project durations, just quickly, the first phase, the first phase is the pre-phase of the tremendous amount of planning and diligence that was put into this. I can't thank Austin, NDOT, and everyone else enough, but our team has been doing nothing but this for the last month. So the consents kicks off. We have some permitting, which we've discussed at length. Again, we means everyone with NDOT. We could commence, frankly, as soon as we can get those telephone poles, repositioned, and that would allow us to get the bypass open by the end of May, early June. June 6th is the date that the schedule actually depicts as we're speaking today. Phase two will have a concurrent effort because we have to complete the engineering. We have to get all of the permits that primarily NDOT, agreeing to the sufficiency of the design and any others that would be required. And that would allow for that tie-in to come back in late December. I think the risk of the tie-in being somewhere other than, late November to, late February is almost zero. In other words, that last temporary closure will be in the dead of winter, and we'll minimize the duration of that. There are always risks, so we're committed to working with everyone's schedule. It's truly collaborative, but we do need the approvals. We do need the approvals. We've had nothing of a good weather until recently with those rains, which triggered most of this. The shaft capping is not complex in the sense of a plan, but one of our biggest concerns is how unsafe is it? How much of a black hole is it? How much is it going to take to fill it? That won't prevent us from capping it right. It just may require a little more time based on what we find. Our commitment is to make sure that it's permanently capped and safe. There are a couple of right-of-way agreements between, I believe, the county and NDOT, although please correct me if I'm wrong. In the interim, as we're getting to the final solution, which was discussed last week, we're more than comfortable to bond this project. We've already done it from our perspective. We just have to deliver the bonding to the county for their approval. I don't know. We always, there's always unforeseen things. From my perspective, the way that the counterparties and the partners have responded to this challenge, I'm not so concerned. As these things come up, we just jump on them and we'll get them attended to. The second phase has similar risks, weather, agreement, but for most intents and purposes, they're all known things that aren't technical. As long as we are on top of them and on top of the schedule, I think it feels pretty good. So I would pause there, for any and all questions to any and all parties, I think.
Who wants to start? Jack?
Yeah, I think the plan looks good. I think, like the neighbors, I think we're really concerned with how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
Phase one is like June 6th. Like, boy, if you can cut a month off of that, that's a little more realistic.
Yeah.
So I think we want to do that. I mean, I don't think we're pushing to that date. I think we're trying to get everything done as absolutely fast as possible. We just want to set a realistic expectation if we could plan around it. No one loves the notion, and certainly those that live on Gold Hill the least, right? The notion of having to use the truck route, but thank God that it's there. Thank God that we have a bypass. And it's just an inconvenience that we have to deal with to get a real permanent solution that, frankly, you know, is long overdue as far as we feel or most people feel.
Now, another concern has been, I've gotten emails here over this. Another concern is, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's people are complaining that the mine is using the road anyway for their own purpose.
Right, so
versus closing it off completely. If it's unsafe by NDOT standards, then it's unsafe.
So we're not using the road, and we're not using the portion of the road that's unstable. There is an emergency bypass that is safe, that is only being used for either emergency or bypass for supplies, right? So if we don't use that, then the company shut down. I've never used the road. We've never used the road. If one of our employees uses the road for convenience, they'll be fired.
What's the supply to be?
Just, you know, we have a weekly delivery of cement and weekly delivery of cyanide that, you know, the process wouldn't be able to continue if they didn't come down.
So the bypass is being used for some delivery for mine operations?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why, yes, it was built for those two reasons, emergency, for fire and rescue, and for that supply.
I just speculate why public access would not be allowed if, in fact, we were using it for industrial-type access.
Public access could be allowed, okay, although it'll be a moot point very soon, you know, once the construction starts, right? Once the construction starts, there'll be periods where there's no access. And The only issue is safety.
Well, I agree, safety, public safety, but also my personnel safety. If it's being used, it's being used.
100%. We're operating it safe under MSHA standards, right? We do that all the time. Operating it with the public and in cross-interfering with industrial activity. If you want a plan that's safe that allows them to use that bypass, but I don't know why we would do that if we have a bypass in the truck route. You know, I'm not using it. I'm not using it to get to Carson. I'm not using it to do my shopping, right? I'm using the truck route, as is everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I just want to clarify for some people in this room what the conditions are as well in this area. Unlike a normal road, this is not an NDOT right-of-way. What a right-of-way is a parcel of land that looks like a snake that a road sits upon. That's 99.9% of the chance that's the condition. What we have here is there is no right-of-way. There is no parcel on which a road lies. The road essentially goes through Comstock Mining's land that they own, as well as other properties in Story County that others own, this portion of the road. And NDOT owns what they call oil to oil, and that means laterally as well as the top to bottom. And they own the prescriptive right-of-way, so to get from point A to point B on a road that is built to their specifications in an approximate alignment that gets you from point A to point B reasonably is what you have in this case. Normally, that wouldn't be. You'd have a parcel. So in this case, it kind of gets into some unique territory when it comes to who owns the land, who is responsible for what occurs on the land. And as long as the road exists and what occurs on the road, NDOT takes the responsibility for that. And NDOT is the agency that's closed the road because of the existing condition with the Silver Hills shaft. What Corrado is speaking of is saying, well, the liability on his case using a portion of that road and then going around the road onto its own property through that shoe fly, Comstock assumes the responsibility and therefore using its staff or its contractors to get that material through it would be borne on Comstock for liability for whether it's right or wrong. But that's kind of the unique condition we have in this case with road ownership. Makes it a little tricky.
I've got several questions.
Please.
A lot of people are asking a lot of questions. What is the length of the new road going to be? How many linear feet is it going to be?
For the record, Ken Joy, Comstock Mining. The length of the road is approximately 1,800 feet. The final design and details are yet to be arrived at, but that's approximately the length that we're looking at right now. It's about 1,800 feet.
Okay, very good. The numbers that have been provided me that Comstock Mining estimates that the cost of the road realignment is going to be approximately $3 million. Is that correct?
The cost of what we're showing you for sort of phase one, phase two, and maybe a little bit of phase three is a little over $3 million. We didn't necessarily break out just the road realignment piece, so it would be something less than that.
Okay. Now, was that an in-house estimate, or did you use outside estimators?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the record, Ken, it's an in-house estimate that we prepare. We solicit information from different vendors, i.e. Apex, for the Tri-Me metal guard railing, Granite Construction for the paving, Cinderlite for the base rock, Western Nevada Supply for the piping materials, Contec or Conspan for the creek crossing structures. Does that help?
It does. Yeah. Would you have any problem with Story County, going out and getting a third party to validate that these would be accurate? So the effect that it's going to be $3 million and not $30 million, so that we don't want to get stuck with a partially completed road. I mean, sure. We know the money is an issue. We're doing a project, I guess.
I don't think we've ever had a problem collaborating, to what gave you the best assurance. Ken's career was spent more time doing these kind of construction projects, with his engineering firm than even mining in some regard. Some kind of a reasonableness review would be fine, I don't know what the scope and magnitude and cost of something like that requires, but it's so detailed out, Marshall, I can't believe it would take a lot to reality check it.
Okay.
I could comment on that also. There's some things that you wouldn't want to do as far as having a third party look at it, like if a contractor were to give you a second bid. By that I mean the borrow source that's right there on source, right there on site would come from us. The length of haul would be using our mine equipment. So that would be something that would be different than a contractor who had to bring the material from Cinderlite to construct
so
the road.
The approach would be more, assessing our plan rather than creating a new one, right?
Right. That's perfect.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Regarding that, if we were to go down that road to have a third-party review and validate that what Comstock's providing us is sufficient, we're doing a similar thing right now with Comstock as we have our engineer of record, Far West Engineering, and they are doing a validation that the reclamation plan that is submitted to us by Comstock Mining, that meaning the portion of the reclamation that goes beyond the NDEP requirements that's pursuant to the special use permit for the pit area only, that they're doing a similar type of third-party validation to make sure that those loads and calculations provided to us are sufficient to meet the intent of the special use permit. So I understand we could do a similar type of operation.
Yes, Thor Dyson, District Engineer for NDOT. I just wanted to quickly add that if, the County Commission and everything gets worked out, CMI is moving along, I'm going to assign an NDOT crew, a resident engineer specifically to monitor the construction process, meaning, compaction, testing type of material, asphalt. I've already got an individual that's very qualified. He's done some work already in this area on state highways on 341, and he will be closely monitoring the contractor. Assuming Story County does not want 342, which is what I've heard quite often, and that we're going to continue some sort of agreement with the prescriptive right and to maintain the new alignment, then if that's the case, I want to make sure that what's being built is what we're getting.
Mr. Dyson, do you mind, Mr. Chairman?
Right ahead.
So potentially then NDOT, being that this road is going to be built to your specifications, your team is then going to calculate, make sure everything is according. You potentially might be that third-party validation or review?
We're going to be the third party that's going to validate and review the construction process, meaning, you know, that whoever CMI ends up hiring, whatever contractor, that they are in the business, they know how to build roads, that if they give us a plant mix that has a certain amount of air voids and a certain amount of oil content, we're going to verify that those things occur. Same with compactions, same with everything involved in constructing that roadway. If I'm going to be, and it appears like I'm going to, NDOT's going to be taking responsibility of maintaining that prescriptive right-of-way or whatever we end up finally working out, then it's prudent upon me and my staff to make sure we get what we get.
Mr. Dyson, if Comstock believes it'll be approximately $3 million or so to build the road, do all the work, would Story County be able to rely on your team then to potentially validate to say that sounds like a reasonable amount for a bond, for example, for that type of work?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Going along with those lines there, CMI is willing to post a surety bond with Story County for the cost of this. And when would this be posted?
We can post it tomorrow.
Make sure you do so we can hear you. Thank you, Mr. DeGasper.
We can post it as early as the county needs it.
Okay. Moving along here. I'm sorry. Comstock Mining posted a $1.5 million bond already for the reclamation of the existing Lucerne there. Approximately, how much of this bond would be relieved when CMI reclaims portions of the Lucerne East High Wall concurrently with the road development?
Great question. So we were just looking at that. The answer is certainly a meaningful amount. Let me continue on that. So we have $1.5 million currently posted for the reclamation. That amount is intentionally or mathematically higher than it would ever cost us to do the reclamation that we're intending to do for the same reasons Ken was pointing out, borrowing from our own material, using our own equipment. And without question, we need the final reclamation designs of the slope, et cetera. But I would expect 20 to maybe 50% of the reclamation, mainly all the reclamation that pertain to that eastern border, will be accomplished. I wouldn't say that's the majority. The majority is the western aspects of the walls, et cetera. So I'm hopeful come December when it's all done, whatever bond we posted, you know, will once signed off and completed and reassumed by NDOT will go away because the work will be done. And then a portion of that second reclamation bond will also go away. Having said that, we're auditing that bond now as well, or we're about to. We might want to schedule this a little bit more reasonably, because right now our focus is this road, this bond, this reclamation plan. But immediately thereafter, we could get the firm that you selected to finish that audit. And then we'll have a better answer to what that number should be based on a third party, and then how much of the new plan will take it away. So I can only maybe give you a directional estimate, but it's an amount. It's 20 to maybe 50%. It might not be. It might be 10 to 20%. It would be biased towards, the other side.
So some of the reclamation on the east wall can be accomplished by the construction of the new road. Is that right?
That's 100% what we would intend to do. That's why we're saying phase three, we're going to keep doing things, even though this, as far as the county we were concerned for the road, will be done. We're going to keep going because it just synchronizes. It synchronizes almost perfectly. When we had the special use permit approved originally, a fundamental aspect was, being able to do some of that eastern work allows for this reclamation. So I think it actually is accelerating. I would say it's more than fair to say this will accelerate a lot of that reclamation. And if
if that was your point, and it will take away some of that 1.5. If that 1.5 should be 1.2 or should be 1.7, we don't know yet, but I think we overestimated it, is from our perspective, but we'll see. Did we lose that?
Just
so
that Pat's cut it off. Just hold on for a second.
Sure, sorry.
Pat should be back on a second.
Sometimes when you go to hit mute, you hit off by accident.
Back off.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Go ahead and proceed.
So just as a quick recap for Mr. Witten's sake, Mr. Chairman McBride was asking if some of the reclamation work that's being built into the Eastern Realignment would actually cover some of the reclamation that was originally expected under just the mine's normal reclamation activities. The answer was yes, although it's difficult to estimate to what degree. It's probably a minority. It could be anywhere from 15 to 50%. And I don't mean that to be such an unknown. It's just that we feel we originally overestimated the original bond. But what's great is we're accelerating all those final reclamation designs now because we can, because this road realignment allows us to know what the final answer is going to look like.
Okay. It's going to be kind of a long-winded question coming up next here. Is that the Comstock Mining will be conducting most of the ground excavation and the other dirt work with its personnel and equipment. So Comstock Mining's costs for this part of the project, it might be significantly less than what it would cost for a general contractor to perform the same work, since you already have the personnel and the equipment on site, things of that nature. So does Comstock Mining's cost estimate and surety bond consider this added cost if Comstock Mining is not able to perform the work?
For the record, Ken, currently it does not.
I would say, though, just as a point of clarification, that's the correct answer. What we did was we detailed it from the bottom up. And so I think for most intents and purposes, you know, the work has to be done with these kinds of equipments, these kinds of people. And so I don't know that the approach and the effort would be very different at all. I do think, to the extent that you're not grossing it up, for example, for a certain administrative costs if it had to be monitored by someone else, or to the extent we have maybe slightly shorter haul routes to get the material, then in that regard, you know, it would be less than what a third party would take to do it.
Without trying to make this an embarrassing question, the reason this question is posed is for the is that there are certain individuals who are concerned about the financial stability of Comstock Mining.
Right.
And if in the event that the mine were to go ahead and fold up its tent and leave town,
right,
is there going to be adequate funds available to complete the project?
Right. So let me. That's not an embarrassing question.
Follow up on that, because at the last commissioners meeting, Mr. Dyson had explained to us that this was never a budgeted project, that they've already allocated plenty of money at the other part of the county for this year, and Story County doesn't have an extra $3 million laying around to complete the project as well.
Right. So, so that's not an embarrassing question at all. I think that's probably the best question of the day so far. I mean, it's very diligent. So financially, we have cash, and we have an undrawn revolver. Right, $5 million worth. We have more than enough liquidity to do this project. As far as we're concerned, the faster the better. In addition to it, we're posting a bond, right, which then covers it off completely and answers the question a different way. So that's why you want to make sure the bond's sufficient. I would add, though, and I know that there's various perceptions, and I know that certain perceptions are reality, but the true technical reality is that this road was never built on a stable base. So that's not an opinion. It failed 5 times. As soon as the water event started, the cracks started. As soon as the water events accelerated, the cracks accelerated. And so we really believe this is a win-win-win, where the circumstances, sometimes better lucky than good, allow for the three of us as major counterparties, and the rest of the community and the rest of regulators as supporting parties, really have a situation where we fix it. Why would we want to fix it? Because it's our land, and we care about our land. Why would we want to clear mercury contaminants out of it? Because it's our land, and we want our land to be more valuable. And we also respect that it's a main artery up to Virginia City, and we want it to look beautiful and not like crap. So, you know, I just say judge by the actions. Our actions have always been consistent. We always do what's right. And, you know, I didn't sleep the night before we had to close the road down. NDOT came out Friday, and in fairness, we had at least a half a dozen meetings. At least a half a dozen meetings, starting months and months ago. Months and months ago. Here's the cracks. What are the cause? We looked at the bedrock. We looked at the structural integrities. How do we seal the crack? How do we monitor the cracks? Ultimately, we never, ever tried to hide information. On the contrary, let's get the geotechs in, independent geotechs, NDOT geotechs, right? Let's figure out what's really going on here. The night before, so NDOT came and said, we think this is a good solution, seal the cracks, you know, do some protective measures, let's monitor, but we're handing you the permit to shut down the road right now. Holy crap, right? That's not good. And I didn't sleep that night because I knew the water was coming. Then the water came and we mitigated. Then the water came more and we felt like we couldn't mitigate. It's just going into this crack. It wasn't coming out in the mine. It's going into the shaft. And we said, what's eroding under there? There's no way to know. What's the only decision to take? Shut it down. Slept like a baby that night. The rest of my life since then has sucked, but that night I knew we did the right thing, taking NDOT's shutdown recommendation the right way, because we just need to be safe. Now, I think that if we didn't have the truck route and there wasn't that temporary bypass, then this thing would have been red alert. Instead, it was orange moving to red, okay? I'm not trying to dismiss how important it is. But I guess I'm trying to say is that the cause of this thing is known. It's long overdue, and we're keen to step up and fix it. Why? Because we're philanthropists? No. Because ultimately, everyone benefits from it, and it's the right thing to do. That's just how we felt all along.
Great, thank you. I've got a few more questions. As you talked about the mine, you've stated that to commence work once AT&T starts moving the subject pools in the area. What work will Comstock Mining do immediately while AT&T goes through the process and approval of moving the pools?
The very first steps of the phase of the plan?
Yeah, so as soon as the poles are moved, we would remove the asphalt, send it someplace like Cinder White and Mount House, and begin removal of that environmental cleanup so that we could immediately follow with the cap, just as you saw in the presentation, cap of the shaft, and then construction of the embankment for the permanent realignment of the roadway.
So are they currently doing review on moving these poles?
I spoke with Jason Parnum at AT&T yesterday, and his last comment was to me that he was going to make a phone call to NDOT to determine whether or not a permit was needed to install the two poles that would allow us to move the three that are in the way.
And so do they have a tentative timeline for when they're going to start?
I'd like to have those poles put in on Thursday. It's dependent upon AT&T's availability and any other complications that I'm not aware of with them at this time.
So, plan to clarify that, AT&T is saying they only need NDOT's approval, or is there more than that? Do you know, or do we not know?
Yeah, so Jason's comment, typically they have to, anytime they're within a certain amount of distance away from the roadway, which the corridor out here is very narrow, as you know, they have to seek NDOT's approval for that. So he was in the process of working with NDOT yesterday to get that resolved. I have not had a chance as of this morning to get in touch with him, but I'll do that immediately after this meeting.
Member of our team from our – oh, go ahead.
Just real quick, Austin. Thor Dyson, District Engineer, NDOT. AT&T and my staff have been talking a little bit together on this issue. So that I think that transpired yesterday, so we're working with them on it. To get the poles relocated. The good thing is this is a aerial type thing. It goes a hell of a lot quicker than a trenching and retrenching type thing. So,
a member of our team mentioned at a meeting this morning they've communicated with somebody from AT&T on an unrelated project, and that the 18th of this month was an anticipated day for moving these poles. Does anybody know about that communication?
For the record, Ken, no, I'm not aware of any of that communication. The communication that I've had with Jason Parnum has been that we need this expedited. We had it originally scheduled for later this week. As I said, Thursday would be when we had discussed it. And he didn't have any problem with that. In fact, he had mentioned that he was going to have a contract over to me to sign today.
Mr. Chairman, may I jump in here?
Yeah, go right ahead, Pat.
I think this is really a more simplistic question than it might be read, Tim. I think the real question is, okay, we know it's going to take AT&T X amount of time. They move at their speed, but it sounds like we've got them moving as fast as we can. The real question is are we just going to sit back and do absolutely nothing between now and that time, or are we going to be nailing down the design and engineering with NDOT? Are we going to be pulling all the necessary permits with NDEP and everything else? I mean, we don't want to lose 2 weeks of time while we're waiting for AT&T in essence.
Yeah, I understood. So all of the final design and drawings, whether it be with RCI, StanTech for the stream, they're all moving forward. We're hoping to have those back in hands by March the 11th to submit to each one of the entities. So all that stuff is still moving. The only thing that we could do without that approval is this Phase 1 work. And to get started on the Phase 1 work, we can construct the ramp inside the pit. That is subject to a temporary permit with Tony. NDOT. And after that, we need to have the poles moved so we can move the material out of the way.
Okay, even if the paperwork is submitted and on hold, we just want everything kind of pre-wired to go ahead as soon as AT&T finishes. That was my point.
Yeah, and yes. I think, and this is Corrado, Pat, I think to your point, you know, the schedule sort of assumes that's a sort of prerequisite. But if we know it's going to happen and all the parties are concurring with the approach, although we can't excavate the poles, obviously, until we have the approval, there are probably some other scheduling and setup things that we could initiate to ensure that once the poles are moved, we're immediately on it all. So in two different ways, things will still be moving forward. But what we want people to appreciate, if that's delayed, ultimately it'll start delaying the end date.
I understand. Thank you for focusing on keep it running no matter what AT&T is. We'll exert whatever influence we can on behalf of the county.
So this is Thor Dyson again with NDOT. We received the temporary permit from CMI yesterday about 3 o'clock, and we're reviewing it and should have it out fairly soon, possibly a few comments. I'm not anticipating very much, so it'll come out pretty quick.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So when do we anticipate work to begin, or has work already started to begin on
this? Well, all the work has been planning, scheduling, diligence, estimates.
When I said work, I know you guys have been working.
Moving earth.
The anticipated start date is March 12th.
So that puts the notion that in the next 9 days we're doing everything possible to get every permit, every clearance, everything set up, equipment ready, everything to go.
Including the pole move.
Yeah.
My next question is, how will Comstock Mining guarantee that the work will be done in the approximate time frame provided June 6th for Phase 1, December for Phase 2, and as Commissioner Gilman had whispered over to me also that we'd like to have benchmarks in place so that we can, your staff, our staff can meet together to make sure that we're hitting these items on a time frame to make sure we are going to get to completion.
I would recommend, and NDOT, Austin and Ken could chime in, the schedule is detailed, so we're proud of that. That we review it at the frequency that you would prefer. For us, for sure, it'll be daily, but we could be doing it weekly with the county and with NDOT. And so, I'll subordinate to from a monitoring perspective, Mr. Chairman, whatever is necessary. That goes both ways too.
So, if we're going to assume that our 10 weeks for Phase 1 starting today,
yeah,
then I think we ought to establish a series of benchmarks among it.
what we accomplished, are we on schedule or not, if not, what not, and what can we all do that. But this is such a critical element. And I know you mentioned that we can use the truck route. But, Rob, I'm going to tell you that in the community, the truck route is not the answer.
Agreed.
All of us need to have the highway open. We need to have our businesses enjoying the visitorship that we get from that highway. We've got Silver City, and we've got Gold Hill, we've got a hotel up there. You know, Marshall's got a facility up here on C Street. And we all are in this, and it's a critical element. And we believe that this highway is the key highway for access. So, looking at a 10-week kick tomorrow, I think we'd all like to know that we're on task, we're on schedule, and what that looks like. I'd like to circle back to a couple other things. I want to make sure I understand. On the build-out of the Phase 1 roadway, is Comstock Mining going to be doing that construction work, or are you going to bring in a highway contractor to do the work?
Doesn't make sense for the record, it's Ken. It doesn't make sense to have a contractor come in and remove the earthwork. And if I could elaborate on that a little bit, I'll explain why. We have procedures in place that we have to mitigate this environmental cleanup, meaning that we can't just stockpile it. We have certain guidelines we have to jump through to manage it. It would be nice to be able to coordinate the removal of that material with the construction of the earthwork for the embankment, for the final ultimate roadway realignment.
And I would say that we're deep into the effort with NDEP, fully approved, right, the remediation of this material. I mean, one of the reasons, I can understand one of the reasons why this wasn't done previously, because it's been years of regulatory effort to get to where you're able even to touch the material. So that's important. But I would like to say this, we're committed to accelerating the schedule in any way possible. As it stands right now, we're rededicating our equipment to it. In other words, right? So if we needed more trucks, if we needed a support of a contractor or a construction person where it made sense, in other words, means it made it go faster. That's our number one benchmark, is the speed at which we do it. We would do that. We would supplement it. And can I just say, with the schedule point, I'm 100% in agreement with what you said earlier. I wanted to not only reaffirm that, but say that when you say we and our, we feel like we're part of that with you, 100%. Our hotel, our employees, our personal situations. But we can take that schedule, and at Austin's discretion, your discretion, and that discretion, circle whichever one of those intermediate objectives you believe is the right milestone to report on, whichever ones we want to report on, full transparency. I think it's a very important thing, not only so that you're informed, but that when something comes up that's an obstacle that we found that you and NDOT have stronger ability sometimes to get people's attention than we do, so we'll take any help we can get to move it along faster. So.
And to answer your question, it is the mine's intent to install up to subgrade level. Everything above subgrade level would be contractor work. Does that help?
Say that to me once more.
So we would take the work that the mine would perform would take it all the way up to subgrade level. So the base rock installation, the paving, the striping, the guardrail, if it's determined it's required, would all be performed by contractors.
Thor Dyson with NDOT, that's where I'm really concerned. The base, the asphalt, and everything related to the highway. As far as the subgrade and what's below, you know, that's not my bailiwick. But it is my bailiwick. It is my concern on the structure of the road. What's underneath the road, if they want to do it, that's fine. But the actual structural section, that's important to me.
So they're really, in essence, serving as the subcontractor, doing the sub-base, sealing the mine shaft, and doing the earthwork, removing the soil that's underneath the substandard. Once you get that part of the job done, then a highway contractor would come in, lay your paving in your sub-base, and do the roadway. Is that right?
That is correct. We would go through a normal bidding process. We have our own in-house procedure where we have to solicit from three different contractors qualify.
So your estimates of $3 million tie back into highway construction
companies that have given you the bids. So you believe that they will come in and can perform that. Does your $3 million cover the work that's going on subgrade in covering the bid? In the $3 million estimate, does that include the work that you're doing?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. It does not include any of the removal of the environmental cleanup. It does include the construction of the embankment.
Austin, you want to answer?
I think Mr. Dyson and Mr. Joy answered my question initially. I would like to add just one to this that Mr. Joy kind of brought to my attention. If Comstock is going to remove the 40 feet of loose fill that there is there at its cost, its equipment, et cetera, if for some reason Comstock was not able to do that work, there is the element of the mercury in that reclamation that you guys will be doing in concurrent with road development. If you guys are not able to do that work, what happens then with that portion of the work? Because Story County may not have the same processes that you do, i.e. we don't have a heap leach to go throw that material on and process it, as well as the cost for that.
Yeah. For that question, I'd probably defer to environmental. Rachel, if you could come answer, that would be great.
Rachel Yelderman, Director of Environmental for Comstock Mining, for the record. If the county were to inherit this project and Comstock Mining wasn't available to remove the environmental material, that material is regulated by the EPA and designated through NDEP. NDEP does have some guidelines for how an entity other than the company would handle that material, and you would, from what I understand, from what I've read, from it's the long-term sampling and analysis plan that EPA wrote back, I believe it was in 88, and so the county would alternate and go with that approach, and it would be a 2-foot capping of the material that's in place right now, and then from I would assume that NDOT would take it from that point, and then the grading and the final construction of the road would be on top of the material, so we would lose the benefit of having the compacted fill that Comstock Mining intends to put there.
So if I'm hearing you right, Mr. Chairman, in that case, right now, Comstock is going to take this whole thing down to bedrock, build the road on bedrock plus some consolidated fill, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
If Story